live speaker in the flesh. That's me. That's an interesting expression. But anyways, good to see everyone. It's been a while since I preached live, so I feel a little nervous. I see a lot of new faces. Welcome to our church, everyone. And I'm really excited to deliver the Word of God. Before I begin, I would like to celebrate something. You guys probably saw and heard when Peter and Jungmin entered the entire room. Kind of like, yeah, Jungmin and Peter got engaged, guys, last night, right? Congratulations. Stand up. Show us your face. Stand up. Peter, show us your face. Our beloved Pastor Jungmin and Pastor Peter from LA, we congratulate you guys. Together as a community, we're really happy that Jungmin is finally getting married. That has been our prayer. And God is good. He's faithful. So really happy to be celebrating on this Sunday together. And I would also like to give a shout out to our very dear Pastor Daniel J.S., it's not a video, but just through the audio. Daniel, we miss you. I hope that your Sunday in Melbourne, your first Sunday as a campus pastor, is going well. And I know you're going to listen to this. And, you know, our community here, we're cheering you on. We're happy that you are promoted to a campus pastor level. You are probably higher than me now, as you pointed out. Anyways, we're really cheering you on from Seoul, Korea. So do a good job. Okay. That's just a shout out to Pastor Daniel. We said goodbye last Sunday. He's now back in his hometown, Melbourne. He's the campus pastor there. So just wanted to give him a shout out. My name is Myeongwa Choi. Almost forgot. I am the community pastor of Hongdae Omega Community. And I love this community. We've been building this community for the past 2 years and ongoing. And we love it when the presence of God just comes and when people of God are lost in His presence and just worship Him. And I hope that you got to taste a little bit of that through today's worship. And when that happens, it's like the most refreshing thing ever. You know, God's closeness, His presence, and His just words, you know. And I really hope that this word adds a layer to it. Amen? And so, yeah, today I'm going to talk about shaking. Everyone say shaking. Wow, already? Okay, I just said one word. Shaking. Not many people like to hear about shaking because shaking makes us feel uncomfortable, unsafe. I'm not from California, but I heard that there's a lot of earthquakes that come and hit the area. Is that true, Sarasa? Yeah, right? In Korea, it's relatively safe, but, you know, any type of shaking, not just the earth shaking, but situationally, you know, and the Bible plainly talks about how the time of shaking is coming, and that is talking about the end times, you know, and how we need to hold on to the rock of Jesus Christ. It is not even just warning. Plainly, the scriptures tell us that a major shaking is going to come. And not just the shaking in the world, you know, Christ coming, second coming, and preparing for that, but also we know about personal shakings, seasons of shakings in our families, in our workplaces, in our personal journey with Jesus, and also as a community, maybe at your workplace as a community, maybe at your local church as a community, there could be different times of shaking that comes and goes. And so today, I believe this is a prophetic word for the community, especially for Hongdae Omega, as we've been having a lot of departures. We've been experiencing a little bit of feelings of, oh, what is going on? Is everybody going to leave us? Type of shaking. Maybe I feel that strongest, right? But I just wanted to redirect us to the Word of God and talk about shaking today. Is that okay with you? And I want to start with this, this is very plain. Shaking will come, period, right? No matter how much you want to resist it, no matter how much you don't like it, shaking will come in every one of our lives. You know, shaking will come. And this is uncomfortable truth, but, you know, being with Jesus, walking with Jesus, it's not you know, a lot of people hold on to religion, quote unquote, for the times of shaking. That's what my parents believe. That's what my grandparents believe. You know, oh, it's good to have a religion. When tough times come, you need something to hold on to. And I really don't think they know what they're talking about, right? And they don't really know the fact that, like, we truly have someone that is unshakable. It's not just like a comfort and a peace in our mind and mental help, but there is actually someone that we can hold on to in the times of trouble. And I don't think that they actually know know who we are talking about. He is Jesus Christ, right? Everyone, shaking will come, but we do not have to fret. We do not have to be afraid, and that's what I want to talk about. So turn to your neighbor, shake their hands, and say, shaking will come. Shake their hands and say, shaking will come. Shaking will come. So the passage and the narrative that I want to speak from, this passage is actually found in three different places in the gospel accounts. It's found in the back of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, and Mark, and also Luke. And I just picked Mark. So we're going to turn to the book of Mark. These are talking about the same exact incidents, but different records, right? And so let's turn to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Mark 4, 35-41. It's a famous story. Are you guys there? Yeah. Let me read from ESV. This is what the Word of God says. Verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. And he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Amen. So this is a famous story of Jesus and his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee. It's a big lake in Israel, right? And they're crossing the Sea of Galilee in a fishing boat. And a huge storm, it's a windstorm, it comes. This sudden wild storm. In Greek, the original language, it says seismos. I probably butchered the pronunciation. But seismos, this literally means shaking. If you look it up in the concordance, it translates as shaking. So in this story, because they're on the boat, you know, on the lake, they translate it into a windstorm. But literally, what the original language is telling us, they were on the boat with Jesus crossing the lake, and a big shaking came upon them. So for our context, right, a time of shaking has arrived. And in book of Matthew and Mark and Luke, I will tell you guys how the disciples are responding. Okay, it's all similar, but slightly different wording. In book of Matthew, this is what it says. Disciples cry out, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." Okay, and then Jesus says, I got a better job acting. "Why are you afraid, oh you of little faith?" Right? Book of Mark, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Right? "And why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Jesus responds. Book of Luke, this is what he says. "Master, Master, we're perishing." Right? And Jesus responds, "Where is your faith?" Right? So three different accounts. The wordings were a little different, but I hope that you can find the key words in disciples' response and also what Jesus says to the disciples. So what's in common here? "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" "Look, Master, Master, we are perishing." So the common word in here is perishing. So their sensation, what they felt on that boat was, we're perishing, right? And perishing, we don't really use that word a lot in modern day, right? Do you guys ever say that? "Oh, I'm about to perish. Oh my, my work has been so tough. I'm about to perish." Do you guys say that? You don't, right? Perishing, what does that mean? So I looked it up. I don't really use it. So I looked it up to know the exact meaning of it. It actually means to suffer sudden death. So typically, you know, violent, sudden, or untimely way. So suddenly dying, right? Suffer complete ruin or destruction, right? So what they're saying is, "Oh my goodness, Jesus, we're about to die, right? We're about to have an untimely early death. So wake up, right? So we're about to die, Jesus. That is probably the modern translation. And Jesus, in his response, there's a common word in all three. Why are you afraid, O you of little? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Where is your faith? And Jesus, in his response, it all points to one thing. What is that? Faith, right? So our perspective, when we're going to use the word perishing, they're shaking. And isn't that so accurately us when the shaking comes? Oh my goodness, I'm about to die, right? We're about to perish. And Jesus, every single record points us and connects us to what? The lack of faith that is shown in that situation. And today, I want us to talk about, I'm going to talk about the purpose of shaking. And when shaking comes, how this could actually be a really vital and essential part of our journey with Christ. The first thing I want to put out there is that shaking reveals our true state. Shaking reveals our true state, especially our fears. You know, when it comes to our lives, it is only when the shaking comes that we know what is shakeable. Until the shaking comes, we're quite confident that everything is solid, that we're a strong Christian, we're good Christians, you know, all these things about ourselves, about our circumstances. When we have a good sense of control over things, that's what we normally think. Oh my, you know, I'm a decent Christian, I'm strong, I'm solid, you know, I'm full of faith. When the shaking comes, I start to shake everything that is shakable, right? That is not rooted on the solid rock. The shaking comes so that everything that can be shaken will be shaken up. And that is the purpose of it coming. You know, in book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, we're going to read it actually quickly. Let's turn there, Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. There's a story about two people building houses, but on different foundations, right? We'll read it. Verses 24 to 27, Matthew chapter 7. I'll read from ESV. It says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So that's the story, and I sometimes confuse it with the story of the three pigs, right? You guys know the three pigs who built three houses with different materials? You know what I'm talking about? Is this Korean tale? You guys know, right? Universal story, right? The pig that built it with straw and wooden sticks, twigs, whatever. Third? Bricks, right? Anyways, okay, that's side note. But I always, you know, that's talking about like they were lazy, you know, so they used whatever material that they had. Anyways, the one with the brick, it's not from the Bible. Okay, but yeah, that's the story, right? But this story is actually talking about something else. This is talking about not the quality of the house, not the ability of the builder, but this is talking about the foundation on which the house is built. It's talking about the Word of God, the obedience and doing of the Word of God. And so being foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, right, or not. You know, this is talking about on what foundation are we choosing to build our houses on, right? And how easy is it to think that we are, I fall into this all the time. Because I'm a pastor, right? And I would like to think that I'm a solid Christian and I'm strong and I'm unshakable in my faith, right? I would like to think that. But the truth is, when the shaking comes, it reveals my ugly, sinful nature. When the shaking comes, it reveals my fears that I was trying so hard to hide. And when I'm shaken up, that is when I'm actually most humbled. And now I'm faced with my bare face, my reality, right? Not who I am on stage. You know, not who I am when I'm in front of people having to teach, but when I am just naked before the Lord, when I am just fearful, when I am sinful, when I have to face my own self, I often think, wow, this shaking is so uncomfortable and this is really unbearable. However, it is doing me some good. And I know that this is absolutely necessary, or else I'm going to always look behind that mask, thinking and convinced that I am a strong, solid Christian. You know, so that's why a lot of times when in our community, when I shepherd people, people come to me saying, I'm struggling. You know, I am going through this and that. I'm shaken up in my faith. I'm having doubts. I actually thank God for the time of trouble. You know, not that I rejoice over your tough times, you know, but I know deep down that that is the working of the Lord. And I know that God has to use times of trouble and shaking to really build us and move us to the foundation of Jesus Christ. So when the shaking comes, I just want to say, give thanks. That means, that doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. That actually means that the Lord is with you. That doesn't mean that God is not interested in growing you any further. That actually means something totally different. That means that God is committed to your growth as a person. And God is turning you into someone that is closer to the image of Jesus Christ. Imagine with me, the journey as a Christian is not a cruise ship, you know? Oh, there's a swimming pool. Imagine with me, right? We're in like a Mediterranean Sea, right? And there's like bottomless coffee. There's a swimming pool. could be Christian. There's like breakfast buffet, lunch buffet, dinner buffet, everything. Everything's good. And there's like a pumping music in the background, pumping worship music in the background. You know, if everything is smooth sailing, you know, everything's provided, we will all be happy, jolly, nice, loving Christians, right? But the moment we run out of coffee, oh no. You will see some angry Christians. Oh, the moment we run out of food, oh, some hangry Christians. You know what I'm talking about? When things get shaken up, or let's say that there's a shaking coming, right? And it's hitting the boats. And the cruise ship that seemed perfect, that was going to carry us all the way to heaven, right? All of a sudden, they're shaking. All of a sudden, we're looking for life vests. And in the panic, oh, we will see all sorts of ugliness coming out. When the shaking comes, it truly reveals who we are. Our naked nature, it just comes out. And what I realized is that in that ugliness, what gets really revealed that we really don't want to be exposed about, I noticed that is fear. Even in this story, Jesus points out, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? What are you afraid about when I'm with you? And Jesus points out the fact that they were so afraid. And when situations are not going the way it should be, according to our mind, right? According to our plans, according to our understanding, we start to panic. And in it, the root of it all really is the fear. The fear that, oh, is God not with me? The fear that, oh, is God abandoning me? The fear that, oh, is God going to reject me? You know, these fears that are deeply rooted in ourselves, it just gets exposed. We find ourselves panicking, even though Jesus is right there with us. The first one, isn't it true? Would you agree? It reveals our true state. It reveals our fear. But also shaking gives us an opportunity to hold on to God. And this is really something I really want to talk about today. Shaking gives us an opportunity to hold on to God. It's a human nature. When they're shaking, you want to hold on to something solid. Isn't it true? Right? When there's earthquake, what are you going to run to? Are you going to run to your puppy? No. You're not going to run to, like, your dining table. You know, you're going to run to something that is unshakable, that is more... Obviously, I never gone through earthquake, right? But, you know, I think I'll run to some, I don't know where to run. Where do you need to run to? Huh? Under the table? Oh, okay. Learn something new. Okay, anyways, you probably will want to go to a place that is safe and unshakable, right? If there is anything like that, right? It gives us an opportunity to hold on to God. Good thing about this story is that all disciples went straight to Jesus. right? And they knew who to go to. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, right? And when the shaking came, when the storm came, they knew that they had to wake up Jesus. Okay, Jesus, we're perishing. Come on, help us. And I really couldn't think of good illustrations, but one thing that came to my mind was I am from Busan. I grew up in this island called Yeongdo, Yeong Island. And I don't own the island. When I talk like this, people think that I'm the owner of the island. No. it's a big island, and I was one of the residents there, right? And then, so the drive from the downtown to my house, it's this road on the cliff, like literally on the edge of the cliff, right? And then it's super curvy. It's like insane. You have to drive through this for like 10 minutes to get to my house. And so that was my drive to back and forth to my high school, right? So every morning, every night, I'll be on the bus. And these bus drivers, let me say something about Busan drivers, okay? You think people in Seoul, they're crazy drivers? They got nothing on Busan drivers. These guys are reckless drivers, and they really don't care about the passengers, okay? And so I grew up often seeing people sitting on the bus seats, right? Falling off of their seats. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but I've seen it many times because it's super curvy and they don't really care and they just drive crazy, right? And then some drunk ajushis or some students that were like watching something on their phones and they would literally just fly off of their chairs, right? And, but you know, people like me who go through that every single day, we know that we need to hold on, right? Especially when the driver is crazy, and I know their faces now, so I know which driver is exactly how crazy they are, right? And so when I see the crazy driver today, I'm going to hold on, you know? And I'm like holding the handle, and I'm holding the bar. Anyways, I have to like stand my ground. It felt like a military drill. Anyways, we do that every single morning, every single night. So how do I connect this story to the sermon? I don't know. When the trouble is there, when the shaking is so great and it is beyond ourselves, it is an opportunity. What am I saying? Opportunity to hold on to something that is solid and that is unmovable, right? So kind of like that, when the shaking comes and you know that it's not within your ability to control, you know that there's nothing else you can do other than just holding onto the rock. Oh, I'm saving it. The rock of Jesus Christ, right? Because then you're going to be safe. Then you're not going to fall off. And you know, when the shaking comes, we need to go to Him. It's an opportunity for us to hold onto Him. And often we first go to our own measures, right? What can I do about the situation? How can I manipulate the situation? How can I fix the situation? You know, we go to our own abilities to do something about it. But when all else fails, we then realize, okay, we got to trust God. We got to go to God. We got to hold on to Him. This is an opportunity. You know, to be completely honest, when I look back on even my own journey, when was I holding on to God most desperately? When was I actually most intimate with Him? It was the situations where I couldn't control a thing. It was situations when I felt completely stuck. And I just had to look to the one who had control. You know, those are the situations when I exhausted all of my options. And there was nothing more or nothing else that I could do. And I just had to hold on to God's promises and His goodness, His faithfulness. And in those moments of struggle and waiting, that's where I grew the most. And that's the place where, yeah, I was broken and I was facing my ugly self. However, those are the sweetest and the most intimate moments. I felt God so close to me. When shaking comes to your life, when tough situations happen to you, hold on to Him. It's an opportunity that God is providing you with. You know, Psalm 18:2, this is Psalm of David. When he was in a desperate situation, running away from people that was pursuing him for his life, right? He was running away. And this is a word of David, Song of David. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. These are the words of David when he probably felt absolutely vulnerable. Any moment someone could pop up out of the blue and kill me. Anywhere from any direction I could see an arrow flying, trying to kill me. An army besieging me. In that situation, David's song is, "The Lord is my rock. I'm going to hold on to him. He's my fortress. I'm going to hide under him. He is my rock. He's my shield. And he's going to save me. He's my savior. He's my place of safety." These were the confessions of David. This guy knew that this life-risking runaway and on this journey, this guy knew that this was an opportunity for him to hold on to God. And he had no other choice. To be real, right? Now, what do we run to when troubles come? When shaking comes and hits you? Where do you go to? What is the place that comes to your mind first? And is your story about running and holding on to the Lord? Or were you always going to something else and some other solutions? And are we missing out on this opportunity to experience the Lord's communion with us, his intimacy with us, his peace and comfort coming into our hearts? Are we missing out on these opportunities where he yearns to cause us to hide under him and rest in him? Maybe we are busy grumbling. Maybe we are busy complaining. Come on, what is going on in my life? But maybe God is calling you into that place where you are desperate and where you're willing to just hide under his wings and take refuge there and say, "God, you are my rock. There's nowhere else I can run to. Would you just hide me here? Would you comfort me, God?" Are we going to him when he gives us the times of shaking? That's something I want us to think about. For me, the tough time, this is a really old story, but it's a good story. It's a classic, right? There's a lot of new people, so you haven't heard this story, so I'm going to repeat. So if you know it, act like you never heard it before. When I was entering full-time ministry, I was very young. I was about to graduate college. I went to Ewha, Women's University, and then it was my last year as a senior. Oh, yeah, Ewha, thank you. You gave me something. I couldn't hear it, girl. Make it loud and proud. Okay, thank you. So I was at Ewha my last year, and I was about to graduate, and God started to give me heart for full-time ministry and missions, right? And I took it seriously, but I only met the Lord in my freshman year in college, so that was my like third year, fourth year into my journey with him. And I decided to take that call seriously and pray about it. So throughout the year, my senior year, I was praying daily about what I need to do about this impression that God is putting on my heart. And, throughout the spring and the fall semester, I went to the prayer room and I pray every single day. And the prayer requests were very specific. I said, "God, I want to go into full-time ministry, but I hear from people that I need to have a seminary degree. And I got no money for that, right? And then also, then I need to stay in Seoul. I don't have a place to stay because I'm from Busan. And I also said, and God, I love my church. And there was no way that they're going to hire a Korean native. My English was not that good back then. It's much better now. But, back then I could barely communicate. So my English is so broken. There's no way that they're going to hire me as a pastor. There's no way, right? But I really don't want to leave my church, God. And so these three things, I prayed. I brought them, my request to the Lord every single day. But there was this uncertainty everywhere, school, housing, and nothing was set. And so I would just pray every day. I would just wait upon the Lord. And then I remember... time passed, and my final exams were over. That just marks the end of the fall semester, and all I had left was graduation ceremony in February, right? And then up until that moment, I was lying to my parents. I am kind of like the pillar of my family. All of their expectations are on me because my brother, my brother was just my brother. And, my parents, all of their relatives, their expectations on me, she's going to become an English teacher. And in Korean society, that's what's really like admirable. She's going to become a high school English teacher and we're going to be, telling the whole world and all of that, right? She's the only one that made it to Ewha and like university in Seoul. So that all the pressure was on me. So I was like lying to my parents that almost giving them the impression that I was going to follow that route. So now, finals ended, and I came to church on Sunday feeling super betrayed by God. Come on, God, I waited for the whole year and I prayed every single day, and this is what I end the university with. You know, there's nothing. There's nothing in my hands, right? I just wasted a year. What am I supposed to do now? All my friends are gonna, they are hired already. They're gonna become teachers. And what am I gonna say to my family and my friends? And what the heck, right? So I was like crying my eyes out. I remember that Sunday and I was like crying. I'm broken before God. And I was like, my life is ruined, you know. I'm perishing. You know, that was like a moment of perishing for me. And I just cried my eyes out throughout the sermon. Like, I was like a mess. You know, my eyes were like this. And then during the announcement, Pastor Christian back then, he had just stepped up to be the lead pastor. And so as a new pastor, he came up to give an announcement. And he goes, all right, church, we're going to do something new. And we're starting something called NRTC. And not NRTC, 아닌데. ROTC intern pastor program, right? He loves these army terms. And so he goes, ROTC intern pastor program. And what it is this. We're going to send them to seminary with full tuition and book fairs, right? Book fees, right? So all the costs will be covered. We're going to send them to seminary. Two, we're going to provide housing, right? And three, they're going to be serving as an intern pastor in our community, right? Come on, now is the time to say, whoa, okay, thank you. Come on, y'all. Okay, and I was like, what in the world? Because those were the exact three things that I was praying for the entire year. And so when I heard it, I knew that it was for me. And not just that, I knew that God created that position, shaped it according to my prayers. Because I prayed, you know, God is the creator God. He can create anything. And I felt like I was hearing my prayers and crafted it and created this position according to my prayers. Because it was exactly what I prayed for a year, right? And so I was like, oh, that's me. But then he said something very interesting. He said, this is a lot of benefits. And I know some of you are like, wow, should I apply? But, you know, if you have to, Pastor Christian's words, not mine. He said, if you need to pray about this for like 3 weeks, it's not for you. Application starts today, it closes today. That's what he said. And it's 3-year commitment, okay? Right? So only 3 people applied for this position. It was a black guy, white girl, and a Korean me, right? And then when Pastor Christian received all the apps, this is what I heard much later, that he was like, oh, black guy, okay. It's Marcus, if you don't know. Oh, Marcus, okay. White girl. Oh, yeah, good. Myeonghwa, what the? That was his reaction, right? And so he's in his mind, they're going to choose 2 people. In his mind, it was a black guy and the white girl, right? Done deal. And the following morning, in his quiet time, God speaks to him and says, give Myeonghwa an interview. Don't close your heart to her. Give her an interview, right? And Papisi was like, Christian was like, what? She doesn't even speak English. Come on, you know? But then, okay, I will. And then he opened the interview for all 3 of us. We all showed up. And I showed up in my black suit, okay? Korean style. Korean style, you know, full cheongjang and like a suit. I suited up and I showed up to the interview, and then I sat down and answered all the questions. And Christian realized that, oh, Myeonghwa's English has actually improved a lot. And God was reminding him of the mission trips that we went on before. And he was reminded of those moments where he saw Lord's anointing and like calling for ministry on me, right? And all of a sudden he was reminded and he was like, oh, she's the one. I need to choose her, right? So I got chosen over the white girl, right? Anyway, so it was Marcus and myself, we got selected. But then it was like, the story doesn't end there. Now, who do I need to tell? My family, right? I have to tell my non-Christian family, I'm the only Christian in my family, that I'm becoming a pastor, right? So, and at that timing, right when I was about to go down to Busan, my grandpa passed away. So my father's father passed away. So I had to go down anyway. So right after the funeral, I had to tell my parents and then had to come back. What a horrible timing, right? My parents are already grieving, but I had to because the timing, you know, I had to enroll and all of that. And so I sat them down and I started to talk to them. Mom and Dad, I'm going to go to school, seminary, and I'm going to become a pastor, right? And my parents are not the type to like yell or control. Like, they're not typical Korean parents like that. But they're the ones to like cry and like, you know, that's actually harder to deal with. Anyways, so my parents started to just cry and like, What are you talking about? Don't do that. You know, you're the hope of our family. You know, you're going to become an English teacher. And then my parents started to bawl in front of me. And then that night, my dad actually, he got on his knees in front of me, saying, please live a normal life. And don't be deceived by church. Because he really thought that I was being deceived, right? And he was like, no, please don't. And he got on his knees. And later I found that they thought I was becoming a nun. But so later I cleared up the air. But anyways, they don't know what pastor means. So they thought I was going to become a celibate forever. I'm kind of doing that anyways. But yeah, anyways, right? All right, there's hope. There's hope. Anyways, so my parents really thought that I was going to give up everything and go into the mountain and be a nun. Anyways, and so that's why they were like fighting so hard. And then after like 2 hours crying, I realized, okay, I can't do this all night. So I just went into my room, locked the door, and I was just like telling God, God, what are you doing? Come on, help me, God. It's so clear that it is you, but why is the situation like this, right? I was just crying. And then the following morning, I realized I just have to pack up and leave, right? And so I packed up and I said, God, I'm going to obey you. You know, even for the sake of losing my family, God, I'm going to obey you because it's so clear. It was you. It is you. And I'm going to follow you. Packed up and I'm about to leave. And my mom grabs my wrist, right? She goes, 명아야, 가지 마라. She's like crying her eyes out. 가지 마라. 제발 가지 마라. 엄마 봐서 가지 마라. All this stuff, right? And like, I'm like, 엄마, I need to go. 엄마 가야 돼. 엄마 미안. And I just said, 엄마, I'm sorry. And I shut the door and I just left. I walked out. And I thought on the train, okay, my family's gone now, right? They're probably going to disown me. I'm the shame of the family now. And all these horrible things in my ears. But I felt like more than anything, I ruined my family's peace. My greatest security, my loving family, it was being beyond shaking. You know, and I was the one that was shaking my family. And that guilt and that torment that I felt. And I came back to Seoul after a couple days of crying. You know, I have to still make a living, right? So I was tutoring my student English. And then all of a sudden, I got a call from my dad. And then my dad, I couldn't pick it up. And I was all scared. What is he going to say? I was so scared. And after the tutoring was over, I called him. Oh, 아빠. What's up? And then he sounds like so happy and jolly. And he goes, oh, hey, do well in school. And yeah, 학교 가서 열심히 하고 어쩌고 저쩌고. You know, he's like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the heck happened, right? And I hung up, called my brother because I was so perplexed. Like, what is going on? And then my brother tells me that my mom and my dad were crying for like 2 days. Like full on crying, drinking, crying. And then my mom calls my emo, her older sister who lives in Daegu. And then my mom calls up my emo and goes, Ania, we lost a daughter. Yes, but I'm dead, right? I lost a daughter. She's going to become a nun and blah, blah, blah. She's going on and on and on. And then my emo was also crying on the phone. And then I got to shorten this story. My emo's husband, ex-husband now, but husband back then, he was a really successful businessman, really rich, very knowledgeable. And that guy takes the phone away and he goes, you stupid two women need to stop crying, right? And 이 무식한 여자들아, stop crying. And he goes, do you know how much power and money Korean church has? And he straight up starts to slander the church, right? And do you know that back then the president of South Korea was an elder at a church, right? So he goes, you know our president is an elder at a church? And, you know, if Myung-ha becomes a professor at a seminary or she marries a megachurch pastor, your life is going to be like, you know. So he started just like talking smack about the church, but somehow that brought just like a peace and like hope and like everything upon my parents' hearts. So my mom like, oh, does this is something to celebrate? You know, because my parents really respected him because he's so wealthy and really well-educated and everything, right? So I was like, yeah, you better, like, you better call her and congratulate her, you know, all of that, right? So my mom hung up the phone, and then they were weeping, and then all of a sudden they're like, come back, like, cheers and for our daughter's future. And like, so all of a sudden it became a party. And then what's really cool is here. So my dad remembered that I told him because he really was convinced that my church was, like, 사기쳐? Conning? he thought that I was getting conned. Anyways, he thought it was a whole, like a fake thing. I was being deceived, right? So he had asked for my school's name. So I had sent it to him. And so upon hearing the news from my emo's husband, he searched for Torch Trinity's website. And then he found the website and then he clicked on it. And then guess what? My face popped up. This is before I enrolled to school. So Torch illegally used my face on their advertisement on their website, right? So the pop-up screen, it popped up. And it was a profile of my face looking at a brochure. And then they took the picture at an open house. That was like 2 months before. And I went there. I had no idea someone was taking a picture of me. But then the photographer decided to choose that as like the main thing, right? And then my dad entered the website. And the first thing he sees is my daughter. She's already a model of this school, right? And so he's like, oh, this must be solid and legit, right? And so after he saw that, he was like, all right, this is it. And he called me. And he was like, 학교 가면 공부 열심히 해라, and all that stuff, right? Do well at school. We you know, bless your decisions. And that's how my parents' heart shifted over the course of like 3 days. Anyways, long story, but thank you for being a good audience, guys. And that's how I was able to enter full-time ministry. So they came to my graduation at Yuhua. I did not graduate with shame. I graduated with celebration. My church family and my biological family being there. And they were genuinely happy about my future, right? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Family means a lot to me. And so this was... Yeah, when I think about shaking, this story comes to my mind first. And I could testify that the Lord was faithful. And I'm so glad that I did not give up on the call of God because of fear. I am so glad that I didn't give in to their tears. I am glad. And I am so glad God gave me the faith to hold on to His promises. And you know, when times of shaking come, I want to exhort everyone. Hold on to Him and His promises, what He has spoken over you, who He says who you are. Hold on to those things. When you hold on to Him, He will never fail you. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. David's confession, I pray that this will be a confession of everyone. Amen. You know, most Psalms, this is something we've been learning. Most Psalms start with venting or complaining. If you read it, it's really interesting. They are panicking at the beginning of the Psalm. The writer is like, come on, what's going on? All these enemies are encircling me. And they're panicking. They're complaining and venting. But it always ends with what? Praising God. Acknowledging who God is. We might enter into this story struggling, maybe venting and complaining and confused or feeling abandoned. However, when we enter into that story disoriented, not being able to see God in the story, God moves upon us and He reorients us back to His story, His perspective. We come out of that journey being able to find God and see God in that. And that is going to be each chapter of our journey. So it is okay sometimes. If you are confused, it's okay. If you're struggling, it's okay, guys. It's okay if you have doubts. You don't have to mask it. You don't have to act like you don't have it. Enter the story. Let the Lord reorient you. And may the Lord help you to find Him in this narrative. And you will come out praising God. Like we sang, leaning on the beloved, right? And that, I pray, will be the fruit of the seasons of shaking. My last point. It strengthens our faith. When we go to God, we know that we're not going to perish. When we go to God and realize that He's Emmanuel. When we go to God and realize that when we are faithless, He will be faithful. When we go to God, when we have zero control, He's a sovereign. He's the creator of the entire universe. When we get to see who truly He is, all fear vanishes and all of a sudden faith fills your heart. And that's what I want us to do in our journey. It strengthens our faith. When shaking comes, don't hide. It's okay. Right? But we'll just come out stronger in our faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus asked on the boat, where is your faith? Hey, where is your faith? Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? He's saying, don't you know I'm with you right now? Hey, don't you know that I'm writing your story? Hey, don't you know? I know the things that you do not know. Don't you know that I have full understanding of your life until the last moment? Don't you know I'm going to take you home? Don't you know? And his comfort will strengthen our faith. You know, I wanted to end with just calling our community to a higher and greater faith. You know, I know some of you guys are visitors, and I know that some of you are just dropping by. Maybe you're in this community for only a few weeks. But just bear with us. I make a confession that I've been feeling very shaken in my faith for our community. I've been running hard. I've been trying different things. I've been trying to be a better pastor and lead this community. It's been a really great journey, but I'll be honest, for the past few months, it's been a struggle. Feeling lonely, as many virtual leaders will agree with me. Wondering, God, what is going on? Why is everyone leaving? Are we going to have enough people to build this house? God, are you with me in this journey? It's been difficult. And I found myself kicking and screaming to God, do you not care that we're perishing? And I confess that that's how I've been feeling. Thank you. But this story really encouraged me. Why are you so afraid? Not in a rebuking tone, right? Maybe he was. But I felt like I was just comforting me. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? You have little faith? You still have no faith? And he was reminding me of, you know, all these years of his faithfulness, all these years of his promises, all of the prophecies that he has spoken over our community. And God was reminding me of each person that God loves so much in this community. And he reminded me that he's simply calling us to a greater faith. And I'm going to let God reorient me to be able to see God in this. When shaking comes to our community, I say it in front of you that I'll let God change the story, and I'm going to see God in it. And I'm going to choose to hold on to him. And I'm going to choose to have faith that God has greater things in store for our community. And I promise I'm not going to give up, because God's never going to give up. And I ask all of us, especially our members and our leaders, I don't know how you've been feeling about our church, perhaps our community as Hongdae Omega. But I want to ask, God is calling you to greater faith for what God is going to do in this next season. Would you rise with me? Would you hold on to God with me? Would you pray with faith with me? And would you build this house with me? And I just want you to end it with this challenge. Are we going to panic on the boat and stop there? For, or are we going to go to Jesus? Are we going to hold on to him? And also, are we going to let the fear be exposed and leave it there? Or are we going to have faith instead? Church, I call you to a higher and greater faith. When the community is being shaken, I call each and every one of you. This is not my house. This is our house. This is the house of God. This is the house that Jesus Christ himself is the head. And God is calling us to greater faith. Amen. So I'll just declare my sad confession and what I've been learning. I'll just declare this in prayer. Would you guys just come in agreement with me? Can we all rise together? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. God, we come before you in the seasons of shaking. Father, when it exposes different fears and our weaknesses, God, we choose to look to you and we choose to hold on to you. God, when there's nothing else to hold on to, God, we know that you are the unshakable rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. And God, you are the one that we look to. And you are the one that this community and each individual were going to run to you. Father, we confess that you are our rock, you are our fortress. We confess that you are our only Savior and you are our ever-present help. And God, in you, we renew our faith. And God, we choose to believe because you call us to a greater faith. And God, I pray and prophesy over our community that the promises are coming. The fulfillment of your promises are coming. And your desires and what you desire to see in the local church, it will be fulfilled in our community. God, we believe that you are the one who sends people to this house. And God, you are the one that chooses family members in this house, God. And though we choose to believe that there is going to be no lack, we choose to believe that your love and your power and your glory will continue to flood into our community. We choose to believe that new people that will come in will experience the love of God like never before. We choose to believe, oh Father, that there will be healings and deliverances, God, taking place in supernatural ways, God. I call forth, oh Father, each person that's been stagnant in their journeys, Lord, who's been yearning for breakthroughs, God. I choose to believe that there are breakthroughs coming for each individual, God. I choose to believe, oh Father, that the revival that we've been crying out for years, God, it is yet to come. And it is coming, oh Father. It's about to be poured out. And God, we prophesy over the house of New Philly, Father, that our trajectory, that our history is in your hands, God. And you're about to do something so crazy and so great that we're yet to perceive with our physical eyes. But Lord, when we don't see it, we believe it in faith, God. So Father, I pray and I declare, God, the new surge of faith will be just given and just planted in each person's heart. God, if there was anyone in this room that walked in faint-hearted, uncertain, and confused, and doubtful, if there's anyone that walked into this house today wondering if God is truly with them, God, I pray that you will make your presence known right now. That you let them know that, God, you are the author and perfecter of their story. That in this very moment, you are with them. And on that boat, you are fully present with them, God. And Lord, we thank you that you are letting us see you in the story. And Father, that's all we need to know. Because that's all we need to know. God, you are here. And you are present. You're fully engaged. You're all powerful, almighty, and all loving. And we have you in our narratives. So Lord, I just pray and declare your blessing upon each person that there will be a greater faith just being released and deposited into each person's heart. God, we thank you for speaking to us today. God, you are truly our rock today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.